Hey everybody, welcome to TCP Talks with Jonathan Baker and Justin Broadley from the Cloud Pod. In this series, we're bringing you interviews with the best and brightest leaders and heroes from the tech and cloud industry.
Hey Jonathan, welcome to another edition of TCP Talks, and we have a couple of returning guests today, Joe Daly and Rob Martin from the FinOps Foundation, here to tell us all about all the new things that are happening in FinOps this last year, as well as pimping out the new FinOps X conference coming up very quickly in June. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you know, it's been a while. I think, we had Joe on right before as he launched the new podcast for FinOps, which is fantastic. Right. For those of you, check that out. Definitely recommend if you're in the FinOps space. And listen to Jonathan and I and on the main show talk about the news. But if you really want the deep dive on the FinOps content, Joe and his podcast are doing a great job really digging into the nuances and how you'd use some of these capabilities that are coming out from the big cloud providers, et cetera. So it's been great. Really enjoyed it. And hope it's being successful for you.
Thank you. Yes. And as now, I guess, multi-year podcast producer, I understand the pain you guys go through every week.
Yes.
I will just thank you all for doing what you do on a weekly and monthly basis. I couldn't keep up the pace of maintaining something like that. So I'm always appreciative.
Yeah, it's real fun now because, you know, foolishly, I chose a bunch of people with kids and school schedules and sports and coordinating four adult males who have to have all these things going on in their lives, plus traveling. You know, I do a lot of travel for my day job. Matt does a lot of travel. It's a lot of fun to try to figure out when do we actually record this thing every week. It's surprisingly hard logistics wise. So I'm glad you feel our pain now.
Yeah.
I did warn you, I think, when we talked about you doing it.
You said stop before you start, and I had this plan. I was going to do two a month, and now it's down to one a month. And now every now and then I just put up a commercial. I'm on vacation. It's just like, I'll get back to you eventually.
That's the same thing he does with his email.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I do with my email too. I just put it all on out of office and, you know, declare bankruptcy occasionally and just hope for the best. But well, good. I'm glad. Well, you know, I think since both of you are on, I attended the first FinOpsX conference last year. You know, Rob and I had a good drink after one long evening, and we talked about a bunch of training things. But you guys have been busy at the FinOps Foundation. Maybe you can kind of update everybody on what you guys have been up to, how things are evolving, and what you guys are excited about.
Yeah, very busy. It's been just a massive year. I think the last couple of years in FinOps, I think we're focused around what is FinOps and how do I adopt FinOps and should I adopt FinOps in my company. And this year it is really sort of rubber meets the road. How do I make these processes much more operational? How do I affect the broader decision-making going on in my business? How do I, you know, use these practices to improve the way that I'm using cloud and that I'm getting value out of IT generally? So it's been a real maturing process. We always talk about the crawl, walk, run maturity model that warns us don't develop things just to be run, but develop your capabilities as your organization demands it, as your environment gets more complex and your needs grow. And we're really seeing that from so many of the organizations that are part of the community. I don't remember where we were member wise last time, but we've got over 125 members of the organization. Can't ever keep track. Over 100 companies, enterprises, cloud providers, tool and service vendors, global service and system integrators, federal system integrators, all who are supporting the work that we do and supporting the community in a really, really interesting way. So that's been really, really nice to see.
It's incredible. It's a very interesting market and world we're in, with the macro climate being kind of as bad as it has been over the last 12 months. So FinOps has been a big driver for a lot of organizations. And so to see, you know, the community build around it, the continued excitement around it, you know, the FinOpsX conference, you know, second year, now you've expanded into Barcelona as well, to you know, help your European friends out. You know, it's exciting stuff. It's interesting too to see the vendor landscape. You know, how many companies are now IBM owned that were once independent, you know, including some big guys like Apptio, you know, and kind of this world we're in where everyone's kind of commoditized some of the basic parts of the FinOps tooling, but now everyone's kind of looking for what's next. And so I'm kind of excited for what I think is kind of going to come up next in the FinOps space. I think it goes beyond dashboarding and savings plans and RIs, and, you know, really gets into more consultative, you know, architectural conversations. How do I design my applications to be more efficient, to use spot instances and stuff? So as you guys are out there evangelizing and learning more in the space, like, what are you excited about that's happening in the FinOps space?
Oh my gosh, all that stuff and more. I think this, you know, this year, I guess since we last talked, AWS has now joined the foundation as well. So all of the major cloud providers, or most of the major cloud providers are now members, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, Oracle, Tencent, others. So we're seeing, you know, just real broad adoption of FinOps practices across those cloud providers. The thing that I'm probably most excited about of all of it is our Focus project, which was set up as a separate project from the FinOps Foundation. So FinOps Foundation is a part of the Linux Foundation. We are a project of the Linux Foundation, and they provide our sort of organizational support, but we operate as our own foundation. We set up the Focus project, which the Focus stands for the FinOps Open Cost and Usage Specification. So it's an open billing standard. We hope standard in the future that will consolidate or specify how billing data should be coming from the different cloud providers. And we've gotten support and involvement from all of the different cloud providers. All of the major cloud providers are on the steering committee for that project. And we set it up as a separate project so that it would own the intellectual property of the specification, right? So people are contributing to that. Companies are contributing their IP to that. It's not a ton of IP to specify a billing record, but it is going to be something that will be freely available then to organizations who want to ingest data from Google and from Google Cloud, from Azure, from AWS together, and have that delivered to them in a consistent way. That's going to be a huge thing to enabling all kinds of companies to build, like you say, to move beyond that reporting stuff. It essentially handles the data ingestion problem that has plagued a lot of organizations early on, and a lot of vendor, you know, cloud provider, cloud tool vendors, in keeping that, you know, getting that normalization happening between all the different cloud data, and over time, hopefully, also SaaS provider data and even internal cloud data or internal data center on-prem information coming together in a consistent way so that the business can really look at all that stuff together, treat it as one big pile of IT costs, and then really allocate it out effectively. So, I mean, this is the thing that probably only an organization like us who is neutral and cloud agnostic and tool agnostic could have pulled off. And so we're super proud to be involved in helping the people who are coming together in that open source project to put that spec together. That the .5 release of that spec was released last year at FinOpsX in June. The 1.0 release of that spec, which is the MVP for billing data out of all of the clouds, was locked. The candidate release was locked in January. It's been worked on since then. We did close all of the pending pull requests by the deadline last couple weeks ago, and that is planned for release in June this year. So it's going through the candidate release to GA process right now, and that's very exciting because that'll allow anybody, you know, sort of any enterprise to pull that together. It makes you know, really, really portable dashboards, really portable reporting in reach of almost anybody, and so it's a great thing that's out there. If you're interested, if anybody out there is interested in learning more about it, there's also a free training course about it that talks about what the specification is and how to read it, how to use that. That's on learn.finops.org, where you can go and get all the training courses. There's also a new free introduction to FinOps course that's out there if you've got people who are FinOps curious and want to explore the space a little bit more, but haven't been involved yet. That's a great place to send them, especially if you've got a leader or a C-level executive who's got a very short attention span. It's an easy way to get a little bit of information about FinOps, get excited about it, and then move on from there.
I downloaded the spec. I've been reading through it. I'm super happy to see a lot of things that make a lot of people's lives easier. I think early on it was very difficult to deal with committed use discounts and figuring out how those get spread between different accounts. And that was a huge pain point for cost allocation. So it's awesome to see that that's all accounted for.
Yeah, the discounting in particular was really super valuable. And like even aside from all the terminology things, right? I mean, we can call things an account, we can call things a region, because that's going to be what's in the focus spec. And the way that we can refer to things, that makes KPIs much more simple, you know, developing a KPI with the right words in it so that it doesn't have to be specialized to your cloud usage is a really powerful thing. But yeah, the discounting was the key thing. That's actually been, if you're an Azure user, I know both of you are affirmed non-Azure users, but if you're an Azure user and you wanted to use this, one of the challenges with pulling Azure billing data has been that you pull your discounted billing and usage data from one API, you pull your undiscounted billing information from another API when you use Azure, and you sort of merge those together to get the consolidated view. If you pull your focus format data from Azure, those are all combined for you already. So it's been a win for Azure users who are in the preview. Google Cloud and Azure both have released a preview for this. So you can get, if you're using either one of those clouds, you can get this data in focus format right now if you talk to your account teams and get into that preview. And AWS is coming on strong. So we're very excited about it.
Yeah, Rob can speak eloquently about the details of the specification. My favorite part of the focus project is seeing Michael Flanagan from Microsoft, Sarah McMullen from Google, and Roy Woolman from AWS sit next to each other and answer questions about the focus spec, these competitors and yet collaborators working together. We actually had this in New York City in February where they were doing a panel in front of 75 practitioners, and the audience was grilling them on, hey, what are we going to see? How are we going to be able to use this? And listening to the three of them all say the same things, all make their commitments to making this work, but also explaining, I've got hundreds and thousands of services I need to plug in from the back to fit into this, into billing, which is already hard enough. And then, so it's really fascinating to watch that dynamic, and also inspiring and energizing to watch them be like, yeah, we get it. This is important. We had that last year at FinOpsX. We had GCP, Microsoft, and Oracle sit next to each other, and then AWS joined us after that. So this year, FinOpsX in the keynote will have AWS, Microsoft, and Google sitting next to each other on the big stage. It's always fun to see that dynamic every single time.
What do you think the cloud providers are getting out of this? Is it simply good PR, or are they... are they getting something out sort of more fundamental than that?
I think it's good PR, but it's also, I don't think there's anybody out there that chooses their cloud provider based on how good their billing data is, right? I think this is one of those things where there's a pretty broad acknowledgement that this is something that organizations, customers demand. Everyone is concerned about how they get their data from the cloud, about how they control their usage and how they manage their cost over time. It's such a universal concern. And I think the real challenge is in getting this spec done. And as I said, we're mostly organizational. How do you get these organizations to collaborate on something like this unless you have a neutral place where they can go to do that collaboration? And luckily, the foundation is that place. So,
yeah, they absolutely recognize the problem and they want to be part of the solution. Because can you imagine being the one cloud that wasn't part of the solution?
I mean, Amazon was that guy for a long time where they just seemed to not care or were trying to extract their pound of flesh out of the focus group to get what they wanted. But, I'm glad they finally came around and figured that out.
It's a very difficult thing for them to tackle too, right? I mean, you're seeing that in the, Azure's been migrating from one billing system to another for years. Not always the same one to the other, but, has been, and the changes to the APIs that you need to do, those are all painful for customers. Every customer is going to complain about that sort of thing. So having a standard to lean on also takes a little bit of the risk away from them, right? Any kind of a standard you use ends up being something that you can point to. I mean, we saw AWS come out with CUR 2.0 this year. That was a direct nod at being able to control the CUR data that's coming out from AWS, right? You can now make the specific query that you want, get the columns specifically that you want to see, and sort of isolate yourself from the other changes that happen that may be ephemeral to your usage or may not be things that impact you usage-wise, but do impact the way that you receive and process that file. They are really trying to address that stuff as quickly as they can, but it's really difficult with the hundreds and hundreds of services that are dumping data into those files on a daily basis. So
I was really impressed, actually. I thought once the spec came out, we wouldn't get native integration. And to see Google and Azure both providing this data in this format natively is great. I figured there'd be some clunky tools that we'd have to deploy to do some kind of data conversion. But the fact that it's been done natively is really impressive. It's really good.
Yeah, there were some clunky tools that we developed that were the focus converters that initially did that. But luckily, we've been able to largely abandon that work in favor of the native integration. I think we'll see more of those converters in place for things like other SaaS products as they come out, because I don't know that'll be as long of a or as short of a timeline. But yeah, hopefully not.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see more companies adopt, sort of Google, like, here, we'll give you a BigQuery view that shows you the focus and then why we're retrofitting. That way you get the advantage today while we work through, the technical implementations of making the native tool support the format. It's a nice kind of middle ground to that without having to make your customer do a lot of work. I think on the stage, though, you guys should add Oracle to the mix as well. Is there a focus participant, I believe? And
yeah.
And they can mm-hmm. also just pick at the other three cloud providers, because that's just fun to see.
Well, yeah. Well, then, Justin, we're getting into chair logistics. How many chairs do you think we have?
I mean, I don't know how big the stage is. I mean, it was decent size last year. You could at least fit Oracle on there. I mean, I always like to pick at Oracle, so you gotta, gotta give them a chance.
Anything that adds drama, I vote for.
Exactly.
No, I believe Oracle will be up there or involved in that. The stage is only about 150 feet across, so we have to be a little bit careful about that.
Exactly. I mean, Oracle's ego can only fit in 200 feet or less. So,
yeah. I have no comment on that.
The views of Justin are those of Justin.
Of mine, yes.
Plus the extra chairs for the lawyers. So
the lawyers, yeah. On the SaaS front, it's interesting. I assume you're thinking more like SaaS companies who are selling on a consumption based model. Some people like Snowflake. Datadog, maybe Databricks as well.
Yeah, MongoDB and other companies like that, yeah.
Exactly. So how do you see, a lot of adoption, a lot of interest in it, or is it still a little bit of a sales job? Because, we sort of joke that Datadog has now become something you need to be a FinOps practitioner to manage their bill as well. getting them on Focus would be great. I know they support Focus for ingestion of cost data, but, that's one of the ones that comes to my mind of like SaaS companies that need to adopt Focus. They're the one number one in my book.
Yeah, so I'll throw Akamai in there only because I used to get the Akamai bill and it seemed to have four or five pages of parameters that I'd never heard of before. So I think that's common in consumption-based services, right? There are so many different meters that you need to pay attention to, and how you get billed for those things can be complex. Even regular licensed stuff, it may be valuable to get that information. Your Microsoft. License the cowls and the things that you're paying for on a per user basis or on a per core basis and things like that would be considered there as well. That data is much more simple than a cloud bill, but it still would be nice to get it in a similar format so that you could look at that. But yeah, the focus of the 1.0 release has clearly been on the cloud providers to do that. And so like any open source project, there's a big backlog of things that are coming down the pipe. There have been discussions about getting sustainability data in there, get it for to the point where if it's available, it's available to you then in the spec. There have been talks about getting additional usage-based data in there, consumption data or actual more of the meters of what you're using into the spec. There have been discussions about getting more of those consumption-based SaaS providers involved in the project. There are a bunch of them. Datadog is involved in the project, but I, like any open source project, I can't speak for anybody in the group. So that's a post. I think post FinOps X this year, we'll be looking to scope out the next release of Focus and figure out what else we can put in there.
But I will say your joke reflects reality. Every week I'm seeing new members who are joining us, who are joining the FinOps Foundation community because of consumption-based licensing management. And that's getting reflected in the updated framework that Rob, he sounds really smart on focus. He sounds genius level on the new framework updates. And also at in FinOpsX, we're getting presentations on IT asset management and consumption-based SaaS licensing to address that demand of how FinOps is moving past just cloud infrastructure, just anything, any cost management that can be applied. These are all good principles to squeeze value out of all of it.
Yeah, those were a few of the things. I appreciate the call out, but luckily in my job, I get to collect information from all the smart people who are actually doing this in the world and then sort of collate that together. The new version of the FinOps framework is available on the website, finops.org/framework. And the new framework is both simpler and more comprehensive, I think, than it was last year. So this was a big change. This was there were a lot of sort of pent up demand things that we had been sent by different people over the last few years. We hadn't really updated much in the FinOps framework in the domains and capabilities in the last little while. The two big changes that happened this year were the addition of a lot of allied personas. So we're all used to sort of engineering and finance needing to work together, but also leadership, procurement, the FinOps team itself, the product owners who sort of manage the forecast for their products, all working together to do that FinOps job. But then there are a lot of other allied personas, ITAM folks, ITFM, ITSM, security, IT security, sustainability groups, to the extent that those teams exist in your organization, they're going to be important people to both get information from, to understand how our cloud use can be made most efficient, and also to give information to so that they can do their jobs. You know, there's a lot more to ITAM than just keeping track of licenses. It's all the risk compliance and other things like that need to go into that. So we need to interact with those allied personas in ways that are, that FinOps teams need to understand now that they're a bigger part of the organization. And then in the domain and capability side, we really kind of simplified it down it's hard to do this purely in words without any pictures in front of me. We've simplified those down into four key domains: understanding your cloud usage and cost, quantifying the business value that brings to the organization, optimizing your usage and cost, and then managing your FinOps practice. And again, those are the outcomes that any FinOps team ought to be looking to do. Understanding your usage and cost is pretty clear. Optimizing is pretty clear. Quantified business value is really where all that budgeting, forecasting, planning, and estimating comes in, and also the use of more of the unit economics, the KPIs that really match our cloud use to the business. What are we getting? What is it costing us per ticket? What is it costing us per available seat mile? What is it costing us to serve our customers, to support 1 million active users, et cetera? So whatever that means to your organization, blending together the cost data that's coming through Focus from the cloud providers and from the SaaS providers, and then putting that together with the usage data, your revenue data, all that stuff that's coming from your organization, really lets you build KPIs and unit metrics that can help you drive the business, that make decisions.
Speaking of businesses, I see you have 48 of the Fortune 50 companies as members of the foundation. Which two are not members?
Good question. I know one of them is Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah, I think that set needs to get updated because I thought the second one was Amazon and they're members now.
Yeah, I think it might be 49 now. But yeah, Berkshire Hathaway is definitely the one out there. I have a meeting with had a meeting with Charlie Munger on the books, but had to be canceled. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you have some Berkshire Hathaway companies that are in the foundation, maybe just not the mothership.
that is probably true.
They're invested in FinOps, we'll say that.
Yes, yes they are.
Well, with FinOpsX just around the corner, other than the amazing, claymation beatdown that's going to happen between the cloud providers talking about Focus on the main stage, what other things are you guys excited about for FinOpsX? It's in beautiful San Diego again at the Marriott Marquis. I went last year. It was a great event. Lots of vendors, lots of great sessions, drinks with good friends like Joe and Rob. It was good. It was a great time last year, and I'm looking forward to it again this year. But for those who haven't been, what should they be thinking about? And for those who went last year, what should they be looking forward to?
Well, let's start with last year. So if you went last year and you liked it, and based on the survey results, you did, we've made it bigger. We made it more. So breakout sessions last year were 30 minutes long. They're now 45 minutes long. So you get that extra Q&A time. And Chalk Talks, which, Rob, how long were the Chalk Talks last year? Were they 45?
Yeah, 45 minutes, another an hour and a half.
Hour and a half long. So plenty of time to just sit down and dive deep. There's not going to be any rushing between that. Like, I love working the breakout rooms. That's just my jam. So I have not actually experienced a Chalk Talk, but Rob, you do the Chalk Talks, right?
People love Chalk Talks. Are a lot more fun. Yeah, they're not recorded, so we don't get anything there. But that, I think, also drives a lot more of the interactivity, right? So there's no presentations, there's no slides. It's really topics. This year we've got Chalk Talks that break out that'll be talking about public sector and government use. We've got one that is looking at AI. Both AI for FinOps, using AI in your FinOps practice, as well as doing FinOps on the AI costs that you're managing, because that's a new, in some ways, a new category of cost that organizations are having to deal with. And then we've also got Chalk Talks looking at the different the new domains. So looking at some of the interaction between forecasting, estimating, and budgeting, for example, or how do we quantify value, or how do we manage an effective FinOps practice? How do you put together a team? How do you hire people? How do you write a job description? And so those Chalk Talks are really fun, because they'll end up being about an hour of sort of breakout and discussion among the people who were there. But then we come back together and share those things, and then have some time at the end to do the kind of networking that we want to see in the room. So it's not a rush. You know, I got to rush off to my next thing. You've got some time to really sit and meet people, network on things that are important to you.
Yeah. And circling back a bit to the focus conversation, if you're attending FinOps Access here, you will leave with a very good idea about how to implement focus at your company. We got FinOps adoption stories in the keynotes, FinOps adoption workshops. We're going to have a Genius Bar. I just used air quotes on a podcast. Genius Bar, staffed by the focus maintainers and foundation staff, where you can go and talk through your questions with that. Cloud VP panel on industry direction. That is the Claymation MTV deathmatch that, Justin, you were referring to. And then also there'll be user group sessions hosted by AWS, Microsoft, and Google separately. So there will be plenty of opportunities to learn about what focus is and how to get it started and adopted at your organization. And if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, this focus stuff sounds really advanced. Well, it is pretty advanced. It's also not as scary as it sounds, but there's also plenty of, hey, I'm new to this paths. I'm just trying to learn how to spell FinOps. Is the O capitalized? Is it, you know, or not? It is. You know, we have all sorts of adopting FinOps stories, maturing your FinOps capability stories, and of course, thousands. It's the world's largest gathering of people who know what FinOps is, and you don't have to explain it to each other. So it's it's a good feeling all around.
I mean, there's a lot of large companies who are members and who will attend. I mean, would you say it's valuable for smaller businesses to attend? You know, where's the value for everybody? I guess is the question.
Absolutely. I mean, this is. So what's beautiful about small businesses is sometimes they're way more agile with their architecture than in my previous company. Like, once it was provisioned into the cloud, it's almost too late, right? You know, it's just like your processes and your technologies are not really going to take full use of that cloud. So it's really complicated for those giant legacy companies. For smaller companies, that don't have the internal mechanisms of how to turn a ship, I mean, there's still so much to learn. We have a lot of, there's a Kubernetes allocation, automated Kubernetes allocation presentation from a small company that's really great. That's definitely going to share, you know, able to share their insights that they're able to learn sometimes at a faster pace than some of the larger companies.
Do you have any kind of customer feedback? You know, with the good news, like, you know, we implemented these practices and look, we've saved X many million dollars or X many percent on our bill.
We do get our fans that they're able, like, this is one of those conferences where it's really hard to not get a return on investment by attending. Because, and it helps their careers, which is the beautiful part of it. There's a lot of folks that we've seen in the community for a while now. They go to this conference and they come and they share. Then next year we see them again, and they're promoted. And that's the beautiful thing about it. And also, it's an opportunity where people attend and they find new job opportunities. They find that next spot where they're going. Willie Siwa, he applied for a scholarship to attend last year at FinOps. He applied for a scholarship to get training and to attend FinOps X. And now he found a great opportunity at the conference and has gotten promoted. And, you know, it just launches their career. So there's so many great feel-good stories about folks who attend FinOps X. And there's so many examples of that. I love it.
Yeah, on the content side of it, I think that the content is going to be so much deeper this year. One of the big feedback items we got last year was not enough detail, right? I want something I can take away and take back to my organization. There were plenty of examples of that, but it was less prevalent. This year, I've been involved in the speaker prep. We've got over 100 speakers who are going to be presenting at the event this year, as we did last year. Every one of those speakers goes through a series of sessions with us, with staff, with other speakers, and then a dry run. And they're prepared. They're taking this really seriously, and they've got so much more time this year. We've really put an emphasis on the 200 and 300 level content, where people are sharing. They're going to be bringing their stories, and it's very difficult to share specific dollars and savings and things like that. But percentages are usually there. But we're, you know, even more than like percentage savings, it's really a roadmap to how do I do complicated things in a big business, in a big organization. And from having these walkthroughs with the people who are presenting, oh my gosh, I'm just like, I'm beside myself that I can't go to all of the events, because it's like, you know, we're in the rooms and you can only be in one thing. So the breakouts are going to be recorded. They'll be on the YouTube, on our YouTube channel. Slap a like on it and subscribe, whatever I'm supposed to say there. But the YouTube channel will have all the breakouts, and that's going to be a huge amount of valuable content, because it is going to be very, very concrete. It's going to be, we're encouraging and we're seeing the speakers step up and really bring their practices, their roadmaps, their, like, you know, tools and frameworks, the way that they're doing it in their businesses. And it provides such a good example for ways that you can do those things better. I mean, this is back to your question about the small businesses, this is a place where I have to credit Virgil Prather for this. And now that I've mentioned his name on air, he's got to come to FinOps X. So I met him at an ITAM conference, and he said, you know, I love coming to these specific conferences, not just the general IT conferences, because, you know, being in a specific field like this, being in FinOps or ITAM, really is like being on the Olympic team. Like, it's a great honor, but you're on the curling team, and you're the person who does the brushing on the ice, and you want to have a long conversation about, like, you know, boar bristles or plastic bristles and the direction of the brushing on the ice, and nobody else on the whole Olympic team wants to have that conversation with you. This is a conference where everybody wants to have that conversation with you. And so whether you're a small business or a large business, whether you're a government agency, this is like a place to have that kind of complicated discussion. And the framework, having a common framework to talk about those things, means that the conversations get deep and exciting really quickly. You don't have to do a lot of stage setting. So it's really nice to be there and to get that experience.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
People danced. There was dancing. We have video proof of people dancing. It's amazing.
Yeah, that was interesting to see a lot of FinOps people trying to get rhythm on the midway. But, you know, definitely a fun event, though. And if you've never been to the midway, that was one of the highlights of the trip, was getting to go and kind of explore the ship and see the planes and talk to all the retired former military people who were mostly stationed on the boat, who could tell you about all the stories and things. So it was a fun time. And then, of course, food and drinks and all the fun, and hang out with your FinOps best friends. So, yeah, it's good.
And FinOps Tom Cruise.
That'll be continued this year. So that we'll be on the aircraft carrier again this year. We may have another Tom Cruise. May have Tom Cruise back. He might have friends this year. Who knows? Yeah. Nice. To bring along on that adventure. So, yeah, we'll see.
I hope it's not Goose.
Hope not. Yeah. I did find the bar where they, based in the movie on a subsequent trip to, which is not very far from the Marriott Marquis. It's actually down next door, I believe, at the Hyatt, across from the Hyatt, and it's right there. So yeah, if you're actually into Top Gun or any of those movies, the bar is right there, and I found it, and it's a dive bar, and it's not great, but it's a, you check the box, you were there, you saw the bras, you saw the, you got the beer, and
we'll have an adequate barbecue. Yes.
Yes, the barbecue is us, for sure.
Yeah, confirmed.
Well, good. Well, I will be there. I know many others will be there as well. I will have stickers for the Cloud Pod, and I'm sure you'll find Joe and Rob busy working. So they'll be frantically getting ready for it to end. But it's a fun event, definitely worth checking out. You can still buy tickets on the website, x.finops.org, and do check that out, as well as Joe's podcast and all the other great content coming from the FinOps Foundation each and every week. It's always fascinating to see what you guys are up to.
It was always fun. And we also have, I know it's risky to start any URL with X, but that's what it is. X.finops.org also will get you to the registration page for FinOps XE, X Europe, which is now open for registration as well. That's going to be in Barcelona in November. I have not gotten confirmation that we're going to sail the Midway across the ocean to be there as well, but I don't think that's going to happen. But, you never know. That's going to be a little bit smaller event, probably about half the size of FinOps X, but focused on that European market. And we hope to have a lot of speakers, similar content there. We'll be announcing some things. We'll be talking about things that make sense to that audience, and that should be exciting as well.
Cool decisions. San Diego or Barcelona?
I know. I'm like, I would like to go to Barcelona. How yeah. can I take this letter that you guys wrote that'll help you justify going to FinOps X and modify it convince them to modify me to send me to Barcelona? Because that sounds great. Yeah.
The only correct answer is to go to both.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair. I'm down with that. Well, definitely check it out. You guys just gave me free training to get FinOps certified. I feel like it's a challenge to me now that I have to try to get FinOps certified before making it to FinOps X. So we'll see if I can be successful. I have a month and a half to go. I can do it. I'm confident. So that's my goal here in the next couple weeks, is to go through the training you guys so graciously gave me as part of my registration. And we'll definitely be checking that out, see if I can get that done. But look forward to it. See you in June in San Diego. Beautiful place.
See you later, guys. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Visit thecloudpod.net to subscribe to the show, join our Slack channel, or sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can also find information on reaching our audience through a CloudPod sponsorship opportunity. A big thank you to today's guest, and thank you for listening.